a lot of different discussions over the years. But tonight is Jeff, and Jeff Welton, we'll let you come up here and let you take over the meeting. I will change the slide.
Okay, normally I hate using one of these stand behind the podium mics, but I'm going to do it tonight just so that the guys with the portables can rove around. Oh, look at this. So I'm going to give you a little preamble. This morning, everybody saw that nice little lightning storm this morning? I posted on Facebook that I was supposed to be presenting on how to take a vacation from engineering, but I thought I'd talk to them about swapping in my lightning protection presentation. And my wife, the love of my life, comments, "You're going to do a presentation on taking a vacation? That's cute." So I'll be the first one to tell you that I don't know how to take a vacation any more than any of the rest of you do. All right? So we're going to try to make this interactive. I've only got a few slides here. I'm going to pop up ideas, and we've got a couple of people roving around with the wireless mics. And as you get ideas to feed back to us, we want everybody involved. By the way, I'm going to say that for SBE chapters, I'm unaffiliated. Nah, I'll stand here. I'm good, Tom. Thanks. But because the Halifax chapter of the SBE was affiliated with CCBE, the Canadian Council of Broadcast Engineers, which shut its doors about 20 years ago. However, I have presented at every single chapter that's been represented here tonight. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. I'm not Steve Lampygood, but I'm working on it. Give me another 20 years. Okay, let's see. This says forward, point it that way. There we go. All right, so what we're going to talk about, basically when you're trying to get away from your station, what do you do when, what do you need to teach, what do you need to test, what can you work around, what can you ignore, and what are you going to do when something goes wrong? Not that anything goes wrong in a radio station, but if it's going to go wrong, it'll go wrong 5 minutes after you get on an airplane. Okay, number one. Diagramming. Has anybody got, let's back it up a bit. Anybody remember the old Continental transmitters, how you used to get that giant 4x8 sheet of paper with a full schematic of the whole system? I see Mark's back there going like this, yeah. And I'm going to say Art's over there. Yep, there's a couple, oh, two fingers up. There you go. Don't you wish people still did that? Now here's where I put y'all on the spot. How many of you have a block diagram of your entire studio to transmitter facility that looks like that? One hand, two hands, three, four, five, six, seven. Keith, you don't count, you're retired. You did, okay, that'll work. All right, basically what you should have is a block diagram. Number one, it'll let you know where you've got redundant paths. Okay, you can focus a little less on those. Single points of failure are what you want to know about before you go on vacation. If you've got somebody coming in to do backup, and boy, if I hope if you're going away for 2 weeks and going to be totally incommunicado, you better have somebody doing backup, then it'll make it easier for them to follow the signal flow. Okay, little things like that. Well, before we get into that, has anybody got any comments, inputs, ideas about full site block diagrams? Or do you want to wait until I run through my ideas first? Oh, whoops, John's got his hand up already. Where's the mic? Come on, Linda. Come on, come on. You've had enough Diet Pepsi to move faster than that.
Hey, Cliff. Nobody better steal Linda's Diet Pepsi. I've done facility diagrams in Visio, but only at each location. So you'd have to take separate sheets and go, well, here's the studio, and it leaves there and you know, go to the transmitter. Is that acceptable, or do you want it all rolled out on one sheet?
One sheet would be really cool.
I'll work on it.
But even having it broken down into separate pieces is a good start, as long as you know what connects one piece to the other piece. You know, do you have an analog STL? Do you have a, well, like in my case, the station I engineer, we've got fiber hardwiring the studio to the site. So it's going to vary from one site to the next. So you definitely want to have that identified somewhere.
Jeff?
See, when I hear the speaker, the voice is coming from down there.
I found there was an article a while back in Radio Guide. Somebody mentioned a little flow diagram, business flow diagram program from someplace in Australia. It was a freebie. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded it, and I just do that. It's, you know, it's kind of crude, but it's quicker than trying to do it in a CAD program.
Right. What's the name? Do you know the name of the program, Tom?
No, I don't remember a name, but I really should because I should load it on my other computer.
So. Okay, so if anybody wants to know the name of the really cool program, that's who you ask.
Yeah, it's back Radio Guide about a year and a half or so ago.
Okay, well, those archives are online, so they can be searched. Cool, good information. Now, what I did, because, well, I'm lazy, I did mine in paint. And I mean, it could be very simple. You could have something like this and then fill in each block like John was talking about, where you've got a studio block filled in, you might have a production room, you might have a rack room, main or an aux site. Okay, it'll vary totally dependent on your own facility. So you can't rely on what I've got shown here. Now, over and above that, you're gonna wanna break the blocks down into what's in. And this right there is my whole entire on-air studio. We're a little 1 kilowatt community station, nonprofit. Our budget is, let's just say my wife's grocery budget is higher. So, two microphones, a mic processor, auto is the automation, of course. And we've actually got 2 CD players, but I ran out of space. Okay, now you can make it. I'm glad you didn't have the microphone for that. You can make it as simple or as complete, as complex as you want, depending on your facility. Obviously, if you've got multiple studios, multiple production rooms, a couple of news rooms, if you've got a engineering room that has a server rack that ties together with traffic and billing and everything else, it's going to be a whole lot more complicated than what I've got shown here. I'm trying to give you ideas, and you guys are the ones that are going to fill in the blanks. So anybody got any ideas, comments, thoughts on block diagramming? Alex? Look at that. We're going to make Linda run all the way to the other side of the room. I don't know how many calories are in a Diet Pepsi, but I guarantee she's going to burn them all and then some tonight.
A weird problem I recently ran into with redoing our facility with Axia is that that's a blank box because it's so fluid. The only thing I have in my facility that's static is actually the transmitter site, because at any given point, I don't know which studio is actually live going through what device.
Right, but you've still got a studio with certain components in it, and they may all be just done like what I did like that. You could be able to route them all from anywhere to anywhere, and I've seen your facility, so I know you can run any studio to any production room, to on-air through the engineering room, or direct to the transmitter site. But you can identify that pictorially. Is pictorially a word? Is anybody good? All right, there's a thumbs up in the back. Good, we picked a word that is a word. All right, any other thoughts, comments, ideas? In the back, Linda. I'm glad she doesn't charge by the mile.
So when you asked if we had any block diagrams or anything, I thought about it. I think we have about 50-odd just random loose leaf papers that have some block diagrams on it. How would you recommend starting to go fresh? Like basically just pretend that those sheets don't exist and just to go from the base, from the beginning, and try and map it out.
Well, I'll give you an example, and I'm going to use my station again with our very rudimentary block diagram. We're moving the studio to another facility on the 1st of December, assuming the fiber is connected by then. What I'm doing is going to totally gut it and start from scratch because, well, it's a whole new build. In your case, if you're trying to document an existing one and you've got 50 pages of stuff that have changed over the years and stuff's been added and stuff's been taken out and some of it's been changed on the document and a lot of it hasn't, throw it all away and start from scratch. Because the only way you're going to really know what's going on is if you document it yourself. Another example, in a previous life, I did tech support. Actually, for 17 years, the first 17 years at Nautel, I did tech support. When I did my interview 26 years ago, 3 days ago, I made the mistake of telling the guy who became my boss that I used to work for a phone company. And you know, the next thing I knew, I was maintaining the phone system for Nautel, too. As we grew from 20 phones and 70 employees to 250 employees with a Mitel SX500 system and, let's see, 140 on-site phones, 7 off-site phones, and 3 VoIP services. In the process, a lot of things have been added. A lot of things have been changed. Some of it's been documented, sorta, kinda, maybe. Some of it I'll document later, even though I haven't touched the phone system in 10 years since I moved into sales. It'll get documented someday. So the guy doing it now did the same thing. He just gutted it all and started from scratch. It's almost the only way. Yeah, Gary, Linda's coming. Oh, you got a mic. He's got a mic, Linda.
Yep. And then I'm going to give it to Cliff. I've done things in Visio. Now, that's a poor man's CAD. You got to teach yourself, and it's kind of a pain. But once you get to know how to use it, and then you take 3-ring binders, and you get these plastic insert pages, you can slip the stuff right in there, and you can just go chronologically, just keep going, and that works pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you can mark the folder, you know, and so I found that works pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, over to Cliff, and then we got one in the back by Linda.
Okay, it's hard for the audio man to get a microphone, I find out. I've got to wave my hand and flag.
Well, Cliff, do it the easy way. Just pot them all down until somebody looks at you.
Next time I'm going to bring a headset mic like I do on remotes for whatever I'm doing. My thoughts are these. I use a program that's free as opposed to Microsoft Office. It's called OpenOffice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's almost as easy to learn as falling off, but if you know how to run a spreadsheet, how to do a Word document, they have a drawing program and it does these diagrams automatically. It connects points, and so use that for drawing. But I do one other thing, and I'm doing that at my station that I've been away from and now I'm back at, which is a disaster zone. Use a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I'm doing that with satellite receiver information. I'm doing that with, we're still analog, so punch blocks, control circuits. Once it's on the spreadsheet and you make changes, you do it on the computer, not with the eraser or writing over documents that you have.
Right, and especially getting back to the Nautel phone system, when we started doing that, we started with an Excel spreadsheet that was point-to-point on every wire. Now, these days, with a lot of IP interface, like Alex was talking about, this wire will go to this place, but from there, it could virtually be connected to about 5 different places without a physical connection. How do you do that on a spreadsheet? Okay. So, but for point-to-point wiring, a spreadsheet is a really good thing. Okay, in the back.
Cliff, where do you find an electronic symbol package for OpenOffice Draw? Oh, okay. Well, in Visio, I've learned how to use a toilet paper dispenser as an exhaust fan on a transmitter shack, and it's passable. But I was once chief at a station where the person before me had all the Visio drawings on a laptop, which they then checked in their baggage, and it didn't come out the other end.
Now, for what it's worth, the reference in the how do you do that, I've done what Cliff's talking about because I do use OpenOffice on my Linux machine at home.
If and, anybody using OpenOffice,
you can build a.
There's a libraries yeah. of these things. Go to their libraries.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's all kinds of there's templates of diagrams. There's templates for programs. I probably even have a telephone template for your telephone system, I'm sure.
Okay, Rich. Rick.
I got a question off the side here. You said you have a radio station that you help out?
Yes. We're a nonprofit, so it's a 1 kilowatt.
Not, okay. I was going to ask you, what brand of transmitter do you have?
Energionics.
Thank you.
Actually, no, we're running a 1400 watt TPO from a Nautel VS1. Because sure. I can team you. See, the other engineer, we have two engineers, we both travel for a living. So we can team viewer into the thing from wherever we happen to be. All right. Yes, Linda. Oh, Alex is here. Don't All right. give Alex the mic too often.
I know. Well, just to lower the average age of the room, which actually there's quite a few young people in here. You guys are talking about Visio and OpenOffice, which is great. But there's this thing called the cloud, which happens to be other people's computers. Google Sheets, SketchUp, which replaced Visio. All in the cloud, so that way I get hit by a bus, it's not on my computer. I have a common engineering account that is shared with the entire facility, and it's not a week or two old, so it's a live, living, breathing document. So like in Excel, for instance, if you're editing it and you walk away from your computer, I can't open that.
But if you get hit by a bus and you're not carrying your computer, where's the problem?
Still,
sorry.
Still, valid point. However, using something like that where you can, if you retire, well, all your documentation is in the engineering account.
Right. And cloud-based stuff, we're migrating more toward that at work, too. We do a lot of Google Docs. Everything we do now is Office 365. So if I save a document in Word, anybody in my department can access it, assuming I let them.
We did this in Madison, and I'm doing it. I'm using Google's cloud to do this, and that's where it's going. So everybody has access to it if you give them access to those files.
Now remember too that you can create a document in OpenOffice and save it in Google Docs as an Excel file or a drawing file. Most of this stuff is cross compatible.
That's where it goes, and I can pick it up on my smartphone or any of my computers anywhere, anytime.
You ever try to look at a spreadsheet on a smartphone? Yeah. Okay, any other comments, questions as we proceed? We'll carry on then. All right, whoops, that's backwards. He said red was forward, yellow was backwards. I asked what green was, and he said he opens a garage door on the other side of the building. So I'm trying not to press green. We don't want to know. All right, so what should be done and when? This making a list and checking. This is the part that my wife started laughing about more than anything, because my wife is the guru of lists. When we go on a vacation, if we're going to my mother's place for the weekend, she'll have three lists. Stuff I got to do, stuff she has to do, stuff she has to do for the little guy, and stuff, well, okay, four lists. Stuff she has to make sure that I did on my list. All right, so before you start to plan your vacation, one of the things you should do is make a list. What known issues are you dealing with? Of those issues, what are critical? What could take the station off the air? If you've got an automation system that's crashing on a regular basis, that's probably going to be pretty high on the list. If you've got a bad mic in a production room that nobody hardly ever uses, that's going to be pretty far down on the list. But having an issues list, who here works in public radio? I mean, y'all know what issues lists are anyway, basically. Having a list of the things that are going wrong. And has anybody ever worked at a radio station where there was nothing ever wrong? Okay, I'm hearing a lot of sarcasm but not seeing any hands. We're going to work with that. All right, so build yourself a list. Okay, like I said, I'm the worst person in the world. I can make a list like nobody's business and immediately forget where I put it. So make a checklist of things that you need to do, like checking the generator. Okay, I created this in Microsoft Word. Ignore Santa Claus for a moment. He was just there for the whole making a list, checking it twice theory. But I created that list in Microsoft Word in about 45, 50 seconds, give or take. I'm checking my watch because they got 45 minutes on the timer when I started and it still says 45. I told Linda, she gave me a start time and no end time. You guys have heard me talk before. We could be here for a while. You're lucky I've got a dinner reservation in a little while. All right, so make a list. Absolutely make a list. Things you need to do, things you need to address. Doesn't have to be prioritized. Just make it as it comes to mind. Leave checkboxes. Print it. And then go the old-fashioned way and grab a pencil and tick, done that. Tick, done that. Or draw a line through it. I don't care. Uh-oh. Linda's moving again. Mark got it.
Regarding the generator plant, you shouldn't have to check it, and here's why. Because once a month on the calendar, you test it. You make sure that it's working so that you know that it's working. And oh, by the way, the automatic, it runs once a week to test itself. Bad, 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 bad choice. The reason is because it'll break and no one will know. Mm-hmm. You need to be there when the test happens. You watch it, you make sure it's working, and then you've got another month until you do the next test. Thank you.
Okay. Now, generator will come up again later. Trust me on this one. And absolutely, this is one of the things that when I suggested I could do this, I started thinking, it's like, well, a lot of this stuff should be covered by routine, scheduled, regular maintenance. And then I started thinking about my audience. And I said, wait a second, what the hell is routine, regular, scheduled maintenance? You only fix it if it blows up, right? So, yeah, a lot of this stuff, if you have a regular maintenance program, a lot of this stuff becomes a non-issue. Your list of known issues will be a whole lot shorter. Don't get me wrong on that. And surely you've heard me beat the drum on issues. Okay, so lights in my eyes. Is that Nordstrom? It is.
Live with a microphone. Dangerous.
Okay, that's it. I'm going to go sit down now.
I wanted to follow Mark's comment on the generator because, and Warren also made the mention, once in a while you got to smell the exhaust, know it's working. But go one step further and know how to do the manual transfer.
Yep.
Because the day the board that controls the transfer switch fails is the morning you're going to have an hour outage and you got 15 minutes of battery runtime in the UPS.
I guess since we're going there, I'll click to the next slide. But absolutely, I mean, generators need regular maintenance. If you're not doing regular maintenance, then by all means, before you go on vacation, you would better, by golly, do a full maintenance run on it, including a load test, a full switchover test, a test of the transfer switch, and teaching whoever is backing you up how to transfer it when the transfer switch doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I'll give you an example, another perfectly good and very recent example. We had a huge windstorm, rainstorm back home on Monday night, and the lights went out at about 6 p.m., and the power company's outage website, when my wife texted me to say, hey, the power's out. So I get online, because she's got a dumb phone that doesn't do all this internet stuff. Went to the power company's site, and I told her, yeah. I said, this says the power is going to be on tomorrow at about 6 p.m. And she goes, 24 hours without electricity? Not going to happen. And I said, well, didn't the generator come on? She goes, no. Now, I load test my generator monthly. I exercise the transfer switch every time I load test. I kill the mains to watch it switch over. I had done that less than 2 weeks ago. For whatever reason, when the power went out the other day, it didn't do it. But she knew how to do a manual transfer, so I said, well, is the generator running? No. We'll go out, start the generator, and then do the manual transfer, and you'll be good to go. So I expect my voltage sensors failed. Anyway, Robert, you had your hand up back there. Kelly? Yeah.
Actually, name's John. But,
okay. No, I was looking at another hand. Carry on.
Sorry. Kind of getting on with the point you just made. We have redundant backups at different points in certain signal chains. Like with our satellite uplink, we have multiple modulators and multiple power amps.
Mm-hmm.
In order to make sure that everything is going to work, we do more than just, you know, leave it on the A and then switch it over to the B with both. You have to run A to B, B to A, every combination you have, or you don't know if you actually have a true redundant system.
Right.
And so that's another real important tip.
Yeah, if you have a backup system that will transfer back in both directions, a bidirectional backup, I call it, then you need to test all aspects of the functionality. It's not good enough to just pull the plug on modulator A and see if it goes to B. You need to be plug bay. And here's the thing, I blew up a transmitter once by unplugging a crystal, then unplugging the other crystal, and then plugging that one in while it was trying to come up. Don't do that. So reset the whole system onto B and then pull plug on B while A has still got power connected. Yes, sir.
You need to trust but verify, especially if you have others doing preventive maintenance on your equipment. Like what typically happens sometimes if you have generators and...
You call a company in to do the maintenance.
And, well, our employer does that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes the load off of us. We don't need to worry about generators because we need to worry about RF things. But the biggest outage we had was from a broken fan belt on a generator. It had been in service for over 10 years because it never had the covers taken off to inspect the fan belt. And so that was our dark night where it took everything down, including the UPS and about 60 computers, and every station that we had was off the air. Yeah, that was a long night.
And that wasn't even a vacation day.
And that wasn't even a vacation day.
I guarantee you it was no vacation.
So you do have to trust and trust but verify.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you contract anything to anybody, even if it's somebody you know pretty well, you should kind of follow along. Uh-oh, Steve's getting the mic. Now we got it going.
I'm going to go way back to the very beginning where you started, when you talked about the CCBE.
Yeah.
They are extraordinarily alive.
Sorry, the Atlantic branch is not. There used to be a branch office in Halifax. It's been gone for years.
This is in Toronto.
Yeah.
The Central Canada Broadcast Engineers Society, and they have a connection to SBE, too.
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, because I go there every year.
Right. But
freaking
that's
me out.
That's 1,000 miles from Halifax. I decided I'm joining Chapter 24.
All right.
Not yet. This was the first one. And I got witnesses now, so I don't have a choice anymore. Plus, Linda will browbeat me. All right, anything else so far? Clicking on to the next one. Okay, so ideally you're going to arrange for backup coverage because it'd be really nice to know somebody at least has got their hands on the wheel when you're not around. Depending on your facility, your location, and your situation, like, I mean, John's up in Fairbanks, he's got, there are other engineers around. There's not too many markets where there's not at least one other engineer. Might not like them, might like them, don't know, don't care. Try to work out at least a reciprocal. I mean, I've had situations, competing stations will a lot of times share engineering stuff, even though they're cutting throats on air. And that's fine. I've had situations where I had a transmitter go down. I went to the customer and told him everybody within a 500-mile radius who had the same model transmitter. He borrowed a module from this one, a module from that one, a module from that one, and pretty soon they were all on the air. Okay, so it's really good to have, and that's where SBE comes in really handy. You get to know who's around. By the way, Mark, I did a presentation at Chapter 17 SBE a month and a half ago. You were not there, and I'm upset. But anyway, so point being, go to your SBE meetings. Find out who the engineer's around. Find out who the retired guy's around, like Keith, who have a knowledge of this stuff and might be available to do some backup. Okay? Have a little bit of networking. And I mean, that's one of the hardest things I find from an engineering perspective. We're the guys that sit in the back room and fix stuff. It's not the way I usually phrase it. I'm being politically correct here. But we fix stuff. And a lot of times we don't communicate really well. And that can be a challenge. Even amongst ourselves, we got to talk. We got to communicate. All right? Definitely, you want to let the station personnel know. Linda, at the back, right behind you, about three rows back, right at the back of the room. Definitely, you want to let the station personnel know you're going. If for no other reason than to put it in the back of their mind that you're going to be on vacation and calling you may not be useful. Has anybody ever been on vacation and got a call from somebody that didn't know they were on vacation? That's right. Yeah, if you're smart, when you go on vacation, your phone will be locked in a safe back at the house somewhere. Okay, in the back.
Okay, so at my station, we have about 2.5 engineers because the half is part-time and he's not super reliable to call on.
Right.
Would there be a benefit in doing some, like, cross-training for some of the more, you know, non-engineer specific, like, you know, teaching people how to turn on the generator, do the manual switch and all that?
Oh, hell yes.
But, and then when you go on vacation, should you tell someone, hey, you're in charge of this when I'm gone, you're in charge of this, or should you just have a general?
It's going to be situational. I mean, what you're getting into has got legal and safety aspects tied to it that I'm not going to. For example, if I've got a program director who's moderately technical, is Jim Gray in the room? Okay, there, he'd be the guy I'm pointing at right here. Jim's pretty smart. He's almost an engineer. He could be an engineer. He's that smart. But he's a program director. I'm not going to walk him through rebuilding a 5 kilowatt AM phaser, okay, as an example. So you do have to, however, Jim can reset a transmitter with the best of them. He can reboot an automation system. He could do a whole bunch of a lot of the panics that happen in a radio station. What's that? Yeah, okay, no, that's there's a story there that I vaguely remember and we're not going to again. And make sure that he sends you back all the pieces he shipped. But that's a whole different story. So yeah, absolutely, it does not hurt if you've got somebody in the facility who has an interest in engineering. I mean, look around the room. How many gray hairs or no hairs do you see compared to how many younger people like yourself? I did an SBE meeting in Nashville 2 weeks ago. There were 27 people in the room. I'm 51 years old. There was only one person younger than me. Okay, now Nashville is not a tiny, tiny market by any stretch. Do you want me to look at you and smile or just pretend like I don't even know you're there? Because I'm good either way. So absolutely, the more people you can get who have any interest in engineering, the more you can mentor them and assist them with learning stuff so they can help take over in a situation if you're not available. That is totally awesome. Absolutely.
And then along with that, if you're on vacation, should you invest in mobile monitoring stuff or just try and completely cut yourself off from work?
Now, this is the part where my wife started laughing. Because I'm the guy that went camping in a tent with a wife and two boys and a dog and insisted on a campground where I could get Wi-Fi. You're asking the wrong person. Okay, ultimately, and I've changed a little over the past 5 years because I'm married to a Wisconsin girl who doesn't take any crap from any wannabe engineering guy. And so she, plain and simple, she'll take the phone physically away from me because it's the only way to shut me down is to take the phone away. Uh-oh, Linda's got something to say now. And she's got her hand on Terry's shoulder. Brace yourselves, folks.
I was just going to say that if you're going to go on vacation, you've got to leave it at home or leave it at the workplace so that you can have a life outside of, because you guys are all wonderful, but you've got to trust the people that you're putting in charge, and you've got to recharge yourselves So you can't do that if you're on the phone trying to solve a world's problem that maybe somebody else can solve within the station and spend some quality time with your family. And just saying.
Ultimately, I agree with that 100%. That is why the preparation will save you a lot of ulcers while you're away. Because has anybody ever gone on a vacation and spent, okay, you're away for 2 weeks, you spend the last 10 days panicking about what the hell you're going to be dealing with when you get back to the station? Or how high is the pile going to be? Or how many things have blown up? Or who did what to what?
Or how many emails you've got?
Don't even get me going. So, and we're going to cover email in a moment too. So absolutely, these are ideas to organize it, to try to minimize that amount of panic. Now, if you're like me, you're going to work into it a little. I took 2 whole days off without my phone, not too long, 2 whole days, 48 hours. My phone was not on my person or anywhere where I could find it. Really, I couldn't find it. My wife hid it. But it got me thinking, because after the first hour of panic and her telling me, no, you're not getting it back, I realized after I got this fatalistic, well, I can't do anything about it, I really started enjoying myself. And we actually had a really good weekend for the first time in a whole lot of years, well, as long as we've been together. My ex-wife will tell you part of the reason she's an ex-wife is because my phone is part of my anatomy. I'm not sure which part one day to the next, but that's a whole different story. Okay, the other thing, because we all know that routine maintenance, number one, is rarely routine, and number two, is rarely done on a schedule, even though it should be. Schedule a day or two of routine maintenance. Check the fan filters, check the obvious stuff, just the silly little things. This is where we get to the testing the backup systems and testing them fully, both directions, all aspects. If you've got a backup STL, a perfect example, I had a guy call me up one day, they had a fiber connection studio to transmitter site, and he called me up, he wanted to know how to run the USB backup on his transmitter, and I said, wait a second, you guys got like a Mosley 6100 or whatever the Mosley analog STL is. I said, what, and you got fiber for the, what's the problem? He goes, well, we had a backhoe cut to fiber. I go, oh, that sucks. Yeah. And I said, but what about the Mosley? Oh, that didn't work. When was the last time you tested it? Well, when the fiber went in, we shut it off and we haven't tested it since. A backup's no good if you don't know it works. Mark.
Don't wait until the last day before vacation to
right.
test something. You know darn well that you're going to find something broken, and then what do you do in that last 24 hours to try and get it working just so you can leave?
And I haven't mentioned it, but you'll notice the header on the slides, a few weeks before vacation. Not a few hours before you walk out the door, but a couple of weeks. Hey. Anybody
I was going to
yeah.
just jump in with, I'm a single man shop, so I've become in the last, you know, since taking my job is really relying on other people on the staff and just really taking the time to train them up. It's like, okay, if this happens, then you do this and you do this and these are the people you call and exactly. We have the blue book, you know, here's everything you have a question about, you know. Of course, in the meetings where I say, read the blue book, it's interesting, and they go, uh-huh, sure. But, you know, it's got all the phone numbers, what to do when this happens, what light should be on, and just really taking that time to prepare to go on vacation. But, yes, it's hard to let go of the phone.
Right, and that's the perfect segue into this slide. Again, the week before, remind staff, has anybody ever met a DJ that could remember anything for 2 whole weeks? Wait a second, before I go any further, is anybody in here a DJ? Because if you are, I'm going to apologize right now. Okay, so again, the week before, give them a little reminder, just a gentle when you see them, hey, I'm going to be on vacation next week, I just want to make sure that everything's tickety-boo, that you don't have any problem. Tickety-boo, that's a Nova Scotia expression. Excuse me, shouldn't have pointed that toward the mic. if you don't have an emergency procedures or a blue book or a what to do when this goes south manual, it is a good idea, especially if you've got some reasonably intelligent folks on staff that can look through a manual and say, oh, if this craps out, I can press this button and it'll reroute the audio from Studio A to Studio B or whatever. Okay, again, it's going to be qualified by the people you work with, the size of your operation, the complexity, and what equipment you're dealing with. But this is all stuff, this is what we do. This is engineering 101. This is solving problems before they become problems and figuring out ways to work around problems when they do become problems.
I did that. I was covering for a station for a while as an interim between chief engineers. And I was going to go away, so I did a procedure book. And one of the things I did is take screenshots of your computers and that and point to arrows. This is where you got to hit this one. And then any equipment that had reset buttons, picture with the arrow, push this, need to push this reset button to get it going again.
Because there's nothing worse than somebody looking at their keyboard trying to figure out where the any key is. Exactly, yeah. Having a procedure, having it in writing with pictures and arrows, anything you can give them to make that job easier. For the routine stuff, if you need to switch to a backup this, if you need to switch to the backup that, if you need to change to the aux site, bypass this studio and go to that studio, run off a production room if all else fails. Okay, the more workarounds you can give them, the less likely they are to be panicking and trying to find you. Okay, so a few days, assuming that you have a backup person, even if it's somebody who's been in your facility before, do a walkthrough with them. All right, this is something that, again, my co-engineer and I, we both engineer this station. Occasionally I'll go in and change stuff, might document it. Try to remember to document it. Don't usually document it. A lot of times Jamie will go in and move stuff or change stuff. He might document it, he'll try to. Doesn't usually. So anytime either of us is going out of town, we get together for a walkthrough from microphone to antenna. We go through the studio, we take the drive out to the transmitter site, walk through there. Make sure that we're both on the same page, that we're both current and fresh on exactly what's in the chain. Ideally, you've got your little spreadsheet and your little flow chart, and ideally in that perfect world, the schematic will match what really is there. Has anybody ever worked on an energionics? I hear enough giggling to know you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, yeah, some of them, if you've got, or even with us, if you download an A generation schematic and you're working on a B generation transmitter, they ain't gonna be the same. I guarantee you that. Or if you're, especially with our A generation stuff, we could have five different revisions of the manual. Guess which one you got, not the one that your transmitter is. We've gotten better. Anyway, so absolutely, do a walkthrough. If there's any potential, and again, referring to my site, we're on power company land for our transmitter facility. Okay, we have a key that's hidden at the transmitter site, or at the studio, rather. We also have an access number we've got to call the power company, because if we're on site more than 30 seconds, whether we use the key to get in or not, somebody's seeing an alarm panel back at their end. Unless they've got a phone call from us in advance, the next conversation we're going to have to be with the local police. And you know what? Those conversations don't usually start out in a friendly manner. Usually it starts out with get on the ground and spread them. Yeah, okay. Not that I've ever done that more than once. Okay, any ideas about walkthroughs and backup engineers?
Very important.
Very important. Alex.
Hold on.
No, wait till you got a microphone. I can't hear you up here, they can't hear you over there. Guarantee it.
Acoustics in this room suck.
One of the things we do is that, like you said, the front office is, that's competition. The back office, we don't care. So we all have keys to each other's sites, and we actually do plan our vacations around each other. So the guy across town at Layton has keys to my place. I have keys to his. Same with Town Square and everybody else.
Yeah.
Because we just, you know, I know your rig just as well as you know mine. Yeah. So be friendly. Yeah. Make that friend.
And a lot of times, you kind of tiptoe around management sometimes. You do what you got to do to keep the station on air in spite of itself. And I've run into that. Yeah, Mark.
Okay. This does bring up an interesting story. It actually happened, actually this way. Out-of-town radio station, manager said, just do what you have to do. There I am, 3 o'clock in the morning, loading my equipment back in my car, and a police car shows up. I have my hands in the air for 20 minutes. Well, I said, just call the manager of the station. What, at 3 o'clock in the morning I'm supposed to call him? Believe
no,
me,
I'll just stand here until 6 then.
I'm a good guy. You don't understand. And finally, he let me put my hands down after he talked to the manager of the station. But, you know, it's just one of those darn things that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it comes back to. The second bullet point here, if there is, especially on a third-party site, or even as a contract engineer where you don't have a card that says you work for, I see you looking at your watch, you didn't give me an end time. Everybody saw the program, it said I start at 6, it didn't say when I had to finish. When y'all get tired, start throwing stuff at me, we'll figure it out. Okay, so a few days before, and here's where email and voicemail, Tom, quit that, I see that. Before email and voicemail, again, remind staff. Because if it's not a priority, if it's not blowing up in their face, it's in this ear, out that ear. Tom had a good word earlier. He said, instead of first in, first out, that as you get older, your memory is more like something in, something out. And I told him, I said, my wife asked me one day, she goes, it's very important, you must remember this, and told me whatever it was. And I said, okay, do you want me to forget our anniversary or your birthday? Because once the head gets full, there's only so much stuff. So remind staff that you're going on vacation again. This is where you set the auto response on your email a couple of days in advance, not the day you leave, but ahead of time. So they start to know. Give them the date. Say, I'm going to go away on this day, and I'll be gone until this day. I will or will not be checking email, depending. If your wife's my wife, then you're absolutely not going to be checking email.
What I would add to that is I've done, we have a lot of weekend board operators, so I've gone, I email the whole staff, I email them the instructions, and then I print that email out and I post it at pretty much every workstation that somebody may work on the weekends, because they can't get a hold of me, can't get a hold of the program director, who's my main backup on staff, and it's like, okay, this engineer, yada, yada, yada,
right,
while I'm out.
So that's a really good idea. If you have backup engineers or a contact, a call sequence in place, post it at the workstations or near the boards or duct tape it underneath one of the monitors in the I don't care where you put it, but make it where the folks that weren't paying attention all the times you told them you were going on vacation can see it. Maybe you want to glue it to their phone or something. I don't know. But absolutely, having that stuff accessible is critical. Whoa. Look at that. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts, or ideas? Linda.
I just want to say, give yourself permission to take vacation. You've earned it, you know, and there's people around that will cover for you. So just unplug. I mean, and I'm the worst at it. You can ask my husband.
I've gotten emails from you at 10 p.m. I've gotten emails from you on weekends.
Right.
And we don't even work together. Well.
But you've got to give yourself permission. I'm taking off, by the way, next week, guys. So
there you go. Look, you've all been told, DJs, you're on alert. Linda's going to be out of the office.
You mentioned earlier to go through everything and check your transmitter sites out before you go. Especially do the full exercise of the remote control with your backup transmitter.
Yep.
I had a situation a few months ago. Never have to switch off my main, and it didn't come up, and I go, great, I can use my transfer switch, never use it. I hit engage.
Nothing happened.
By the way, the transmitter that failed was not an Autel.
Yay!
But I had to resort to my Harris 1K. I call it Old Faithful. It's always there. But the problem is, I may have switch between manual and automatic, and I hit filaments on, nothing. It just lost its brain. So a full checkout is very important when it comes to that.
And, well, and I mean, ideally, in that mythical perfect world and where we do scheduled maintenance on a regular basis, you will be checking your backup systems at least once a month. Because a backup that doesn't work isn't a backup.
And the one last comment, thanks for all your insight here, but my only problem is you recommended going through drawings. I see my boss here writing things down, so that means I already know what I'm going to be doing when I get back.
Job security, man. You can thank me later.
I have plenty of job security.
All right, anything else? Everybody good? Oh, John's got his hand up. Is it scary that I know almost all you by first name already?
Are you going to back us up then?
I already take your calls at 10 p.m.
Right. Two things. I'm in a somewhat unique circumstance because my wife is on 24-hour call. Now, she's a nurse midwife, hospital-based, and she's lead. And most of the time, well, we joke about she got into it to get even with me, and most of the time it's joking. But another thing that my oldest daughter taught me about lists, and I'm a convulsive list keeper, I guess is the way that I would say it, color.
Good idea.
It seems so simple.
Color.
But I went for so many years, and for me, violet's the wife, blue's personal, green's church, black is work. You know, whatever works for you.
Right.
But
no,
again,
that's a really good idea. You can both separate personal and work-related stuff. If you're doing only a work-related list, you could use the color coding to separate priorities. Or I don't dare, well, yeah, I do dare say this out loud because nothing's sacred. I have a particular color for one of our DJs who is a royal pain in the ass. But they get their own color on any list I make because I know I'm going to have to deal with that or I'm never going to not hear about it. So, yeah, absolutely. Color coding, that's a good idea.
And there's nothing wrong with list within lists.
Yep.
And part of the reason for that, and it's a corporate thing for me, I worked for Town Square. The Town Square engineering is fairly strict about things that they want to see on our weekly report on a quarterly basis. And so they know that the generator has been load tested at any of the sites.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the list, the checklist for that is a full page for each of them. So
and
those
that's
sort of things.
Where something like, let's see if I can get back to it fairly quickly. Okay, whoops, I had a, there. We got to wait for a second until Santa Claus is done. So you can do things like I've done here with, I mean, that was done in Microsoft Word. You could have done it in OpenOffice just as easily. But both of them have a little menu item at the top for adding bullet level. And you can bullet your list, prioritize, sublists, list within lists, as John said. Yeah, John. 14 pages on an Excel spreadsheet. That's a heck of a list. Uh-oh, Terry's got the mic now. Linda's going to pay.
I'm just keeping it away from her. That's all right.
Okay, that's cool.
One of the things I'd like to bring up that I think is difficult for us as engineers to do is to set up these reciprocal relationships with other engineers.
It's hard to ask for help.
It's hard to ask for help. We all hate to ask for help. We find that a difficult task. We're just kind of wired that way. I would suggest you think of your SBE chapter as a pool. One of the things you can do, and it's relatively harmless, but it would help you. It'll help everybody in the market. Is as one of your things you do in a meeting in a particular week. Why don't you schedule tours of other stations? If everybody goes to everybody else's station, it's a relatively simple thing to say, hey, would you be willing to take care of my place for the next couple of weeks? And when you go on vacation, I'll take care of yours.
Right.
That's the kind of thing you want to build. We did that in Milwaukee, and it worked out very well. I mean, I remember the time I was on vacation in Colorado, and they had a an antenna failure on one of the big stations that I was working with. The guy answered the call, diagnosed the problem, notified the engineer, notified the manager there, I should say, and proceeded to get repairs started. So don't be afraid about that. That's really a good way to help each other. And by the way, if you get called in the middle of the night to a place you've never seen before, it's a really interesting challenge, too,
yeah,
to figure it out. If people haven't prepared the kind of list that you recommend, which would be wonderful, in the real world, not everybody's going to do that.
Or almost nobody.
But everybody knows there will be a time when they need somebody to go to their facility and
right,
give it a hand when it needs it.
Well, so, and having that kind of relationship is good. And I'll give you a totally non-broadcast related example. When I was about 13 or 14 years old, I grew up on a small farm. My father ended up in the hospital with ulcers in the middle of harvest season. I'm one kid, 14 years old. I can drive a tractor 24 hours a day, but I wasn't getting it all done. Well, the next thing I knew, five different neighbors come in with their tractors, and we got 200 acres of potatoes harvested in about one afternoon. And I guarantee you, I spent the rest of that summer helping out with hay and season on their farms. You got to have that reciprocal arrangement and trade back and forth.
Right. It's really important because we all want to feel it's a fair deal both ways. Because we're asking a lot of somebody to say, will you answer the call when my station calls for you?
Yeah.
That's a big ask. But you know what? There's another advantage of that. If you have a station in town that has a major failure, maybe, for example, a tower coming down, which I've actually gone through, you will have everybody in town there to help you.
Yep.
Everybody. Yep. Because they all know where you are, and they all know you're off the air, and they know you need help. And
they know you'd be there for them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So SBE can be one of your best
resources
in actually setting this up, because it is a difficult thing. It's not an easy thing to set up.
No, and you made a very good point. I mean, by definition, engineers are, we fix stuff, like I said. And admitting that you can't fix something or that you can't handle everything all on your own, everything that goes wrong in the world, can be a challenge sometimes. So there's some psychology there. Is John Antonuk still in the room? There you are. I couldn't see you past the light. John and I were talking earlier, I think it was you and me, and he was mentioning he took a new job not too long ago, and when he took the job, they said, oh, no, you were backing somebody up, and they said he's got to get him a key. And he goes, oh, I've had that for 10 years, because they had this kind of arrangement. So, I mean, you know, that's a way of life in Alaska and that part of the world, and it'd be really nice to have that almost everywhere. It'd make your jobs, in a lot of ways, a whole lot easier. Anything else? Questions, comments, asides, sarcasm? All good? Wait, mandatory PR page, blah, blah, blah. Because, oh, whoops, I was hitting backwards when I should have been hitting forward. I wasn't paying attention to my colors. Mr. Huntley would be sad at me because, yeah, I didn't color code my buttons. There we go, mandatory, there's how you find us. Everybody knows who I am. You can find us on the website. Thank you very much, folks.